It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Well, too bad, because we've started.
Okay. Oh, that's Dr. Nephew sitting over there.
And enough is enough.
Our sponsor.
Our co-sponsor. Unofficial, completely unaware and not sponsoring as sponsor. Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast that, as of last week, is now officially sanctioned and approved for intravenous use in 12 different countries.
And we're working on getting that 13th.
Boy. The weird thing is, all 12 of them, it's actually illegal to listen to it.
Well,
but
yeah.
You can just straight up shoot it into your veins.
That was kind of part of the deal.
Yeah. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 171.
How are you doing today, William?
You know, I'm good, usually. This is the usual thing. I guess I'll remind everybody that by the time they listen to this, there's probably a new video out on the YouTube channel.
And I'm going to totally lose track, because they're all scheduled up there, and I've watched them all on YouTube. So in my mind, I'm like, they're all there. But
yeah, because you can log in as the hat and watch them.
I own the Geno.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so to you, they're already all out there. But
I believe we've had a total of 72 views of both videos combined.
Really?
And we have 5 subscribers to the channel.
Oh.
Only one of which we're allowed to see, and that's Jazz.
Well, I'm one of them, I think.
Are you?
Yeah.
All
right.
I should log in as all my other different accounts and subscribe.
Just subscribe. So if you're listening, go ahead and go over to the YouTube channel and have a look at the second video.
Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, all that stuff.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, do all that stuff.
For those of you just joining us, before you go subscribe to our YouTube channel, maybe you should find out what the hell we're doing. We have a hat that is magical. Actually, if you go to the YouTube and watch the intro, it'll explain
it. Yeah.
We have a hat that's magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves and people unlike yourselves, people from all walks of life, email that address with comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies them into little note cards with the email information written on them that manifest physically within the hat. We draw those cards out of the hat at random and read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored, do that for about an hour.
The YouTube channel also has something in the about that explains everything, but I don't know if you've looked at it. But
I don't know if I have.
Well, you might want to look at it to make sure it says what you want it to say. Sorry.
You could have just copied from the about on the blog.
I could have, but I didn't. I just...
You went rogue.
Wrote something up sort of from scratch, and I didn't include any links in it, which I probably should have. But yeah, that's really all that's been going on with me. How about you? What have you been doing?
I asked how your week was. I asked how you were doing this evening.
Oh, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, all right. I got a little bit of existential ennui going on.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. My guess is that it got all cloudy and stormy. I have more and more impact. That kind of stuff affects me more and more every year, it seems like.
Really?
Yeah, sunny weather will really improve my mood. Even if it's, like, uncomfortably warm, which I hate. I'd rather be too cold than too hot. Just the sun, I just love.
Huh.
So I don't know what it is. But I don't know, yeah, it just was like, eh. That was it, you know.
Well, I got quite a bit of work done today, so I guess I'm just happy about that.
Got a fair bit of work done, too, actually. Not as much as I'll get done tomorrow or next week. A lot of work coming up, is what I'm saying. Anyway, how was your week?
Let me think. Well, we watched the second season of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, already done?
Yeah.
Still loving it?
Well, it wasn't as good as the first season.
Okay.
I don't know why that is either. It seems like, see, here's the thing. I'm not really a fan of weeds.
Okay.
Which is the other thing that the creator of this show and writer of this show did. Yeah.
The producer used to watch Weeds, I think around season 3 or 4. She realized that it was just the same stuff over and over again, yeah, so then she stopped.
It never impressed me, and I, you know, didn't really watch very many shows. I thought, okay, that's just one of those things that I'm not going to be into. And the first season, there were maybe 3 or 4 instances in watching the first season where I was reminded, oh yeah, this was written by the person who wrote Weeds. This season, pretty much every single episode, something, you know, made me think that, oh yeah, that's right, this person is the person who wrote Weeds.
And I believe Weeds got 8 seasons, so you're in luck, fans of Orange.
Well, yeah, if people like that sort of thing, then they're not going to have anything to complain about, but I don't, so I was disappointed in a lot of aspects of this season, but it was still fun to watch, so I was okay. Finished watching the Justice League Unlimited.
Oh, yeah?
Because, you know, there's the Justice League for, like, 2 seasons.
And but it's way more limited.
And there's 3 seasons of the Justice League Unlimited. And an interesting...
You'd think there'd be more, like an infinite number of seasons.
No, the cast changes, obviously, and you've got all kinds of, you know, in the first 2 seasons, it's mostly just the 7 core, quote-unquote, founding members, and then you get a lot more people in the other 3 seasons. But the show changed a lot, in not just in terms of the cast.
It reminded you a lot more of Weeds?
No, I really don't know how to describe it. I mean,
but he's going to try, people.
Shouldn't I? Or I don't have to, I guess. But, so yeah, that was okay. It was a little disappointing, but, and now we're watching,
okay, people are going to get mad at me now because you didn't describe.
That doesn't matter. I mean, I'm just
they
talking.
They want to know.
No, they don't.
I can sense it.
I'm just talking to talk. And now, watching that 3D animated Green Lantern thing that, I 2011 is when it started. I don't know if it's still on or not.
Okay.
Have you heard of this? It's Green Lantern, the animated series, and it's 3D animated. And the animation's, I mean, when they animate people, it's not that great, but everybody in the show is an alien, and they look fine.
Oh, well, there you go.
Somehow they look okay, but as soon as they try to animate humans, it looks a little dumb. But that's actually a pretty good show.
Hmm.
We're kind of enjoying that, except it also is clearly, the audience is clearly like young
people who watch Weeds.
Well, young boys or college-age men. The female representation is both small in number and light in quality.
Oh, yeah, no, the only successful one of those that actually hit the female representation and the female demographic real well was Young Justice, which literally got canceled because the demographics were skewing way more towards girls, which they thought was not what they wanted.
Which is so weird because, mm-hmm. I mean, you'd think it would be the number of viewers, like, if you find out you didn't hit your target demographic, but you have as many or more viewers than you expected,
you'd be like, talk to different advertisers.
Yeah, you would just get different. But I guess, you know, if you don't hit your demographic, your advertisers are going to back out. And if you don't know which advertisers to go after or something, I don't know, then.
No,
it wouldn't seem like you'd cancel it. I mean, then you don't have any.
Pure stupid.
Then you don't have any advertising revenue. It just doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I mean, the thing is that the show by itself is fine. You know, if the rest of the culture wasn't sexist, you know, you could watch the show and it would be fine. But knowing that they could have made something that could appeal to more than just one, you know, gender demographic, and they didn't do it, it's kind of disappointing. But otherwise, the writing's really good and the voice acting's good, so it's kind of neat. I mean, I can't explain why I started watching all these animated things in the first place, but they are actually pretty good. But, you know, and just working on things, that's all I've been doing. I can't think of any movies we've watched or anything like that. What about you?
All sorts of things. This last weekend went home. I think it was this last week. Yeah, I went home for my father-in-law's surprise 70th birthday. He was very surprised. we were unsurprised that he was surprised. In fact, we tried too hard. We had a whole bunch of, like, backup stories to explain what we were doing. Never came up. He doesn't care. We had, like, three different stories how we were going to get out of the house early, and then he just went to the back room, so we just left. But, yeah, he was surprised. He was really happy about that. And saw my niece's play, Honk Junior, which is a child's edit of a musical adaptation of The Ugly Duckling. My niece played the bullfrog, which in my opinion was the most fun part. Like, if I had a part, I would want that part. And she was far and away the strongest performer by quite a bit. No, and I had to tell her this because I said, now, all sorts of little old ladies and grandmas and aunts and parents are going to tell you, you were the best, and you know me. Uncle Tony will not, will tell you what he really thought you did. She's like, yeah, and I said, you were far and away the best. And I even listed out, because there are some very specific things you start teaching kids when they start doing stuff on stage that the other kids did not have that she had, and it looked like she was not taught them, she just had them.
That's cool.
So yeah, I was very impressed with that. Then came home Sunday. Monday, left in the afternoon to go to Des Moines because we were seeing Eddie Izzard live at the Civic Center in Des Moines.
Yeah, you know, I forgot to say, I went home for Father's Day.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which was cool. But I was in Des Moines last week, and I went by the Civic Center, and I saw that, and I thought, you know, someone I know is going to that show. I think it must be Tony, because I couldn't remember.
It was definitely Tony.
How did it go?
Really well. Poor guy had hurt his foot, so that kind of screwed
up. Does he still do the cross-dressing thing?
He still is a cross-dresser. He still is a transvestite.
Okay.
That's how he identifies. It came up a few times in conversation.
I thought that was just something he did for the show.
No. That's a key part of him, stuff he had to struggle with as a kid and stuff. He's just a full-on normal transvestite.
I see.
It seems like as he's gotten more into acting, his performances are less that way. If you look at his concert performances, there's less and less and less. In this, he was in an immaculate suit with some eye makeup and some fabulously painted nails. So that was the extent here. It was really good. I mean, it was very much him. It was really fun for big Eddie Izzard fans. I should tell you, after 14 years, he actually has a sequel of sorts / retelling / offshoot, I don't know, homage to the Death Star canteen sketch. So that was pretty awesome. We also spent a lot of time dealing with a chicken named Tony with mechanical legs. A lot of the second half was that. I stayed around afterwards. He had a little Q&A, and that was remarkably more serious. The man has some very serious political views, which he sort of hints at and jokes about in his show, but they're pretty serious. And apparently he quite definitely intends to run for office in the UK in 2020, either for the Lord Mayor of London or for a Member of Parliament, depending on who filled those positions in 2016. That will affect it. But he absolutely plans to, which is part of why he's doing this big tour now, sort of as the last chance, because if he gets office, he can't really be going around touring.
Well, he's a remarkably intelligent guy.
Absolutely.
He's certainly qualified for that kind of thing, more than a lot of people who get those offices.
And there has been sort of an influx in the UK, especially more in England. Things have been pushing to the right a bit. And there are definite movements trying to sort of push back left, and he, I think, is very much along those lines. So that was very cool. And then we stayed in the hotel. The next day, Tuesday, we had the whole day off. We did not have breakfast because I knew where we were going to lunch. However, we got a little distracted by stuff, so we ended up not getting to lunch until 12:30, I thought we might go a little early since we were skipping breakfast. We went to a place in Des Moines called Zombie Burger. And you can tune out for this. A lot of this is going to be about food.
Okay.
It is a bar and burger place that is zombie themed. That has all sorts of crazy milkshakes and hot dogs and burgers and stuff that are all very zombie themed. And things like the "They're Coming to Get You, Martha" burger, which among other toppings and such, has a bun, quote unquote, that is made up of two grilled cheese sandwiches. Or the Trailer Trash burger that Trish had, which had on it, among other things, again, fried dill pickles and chicken fried bacon. And it has shakes, such as the Wedding Cake Shake, that is a vanilla shake with yellow cake mix in it. Or the Unicorn, which is a vanilla shake with Fruity Pebbles cereal and marshmallow cream in it. I've been planning for a long time to go there. I was very excited, so I went there. It was Tuesday at 12:30. We could only get seated at the bar. Like, that's how popular this place is. I started with some poutine, because they had poutine, regular poutine. I've never really just had poutine. And so I had to try it, and I did, and it was good. And I feel like my obsession with poutine is now sated, now that I've really had it. Like, if I see it on menus other places, I may have it, I like it. But I no longer have this compulsion, I think.
And I don't even remember what that is.
Poutine is fries.
You've explained it to
with
me.
Warm cheese curd over the top of that, with gravy over the top of that. It's a Canadian comfort food.
Oh.
And I had a variant of it once that had an onion gravy that was tasty, but I still didn't feel like I'd really had it, and now I do, so.
Okay.
Then I had, I ordered that wedding cake shake I talked about with the cake mix in it, and I ordered a double tap, which means two burgers, version of something they call the walking ched.
Okay.
First, I need to say, a lot of places that have, like, crazy burgers, the burger's not that exciting. This place, it was clearly not previously frozen, and it was actually really nicely cooked. It was a good burger. They have vegetarian burgers for wimps, too. But anyway, no, because actually my friend, who highly recommends the place, is a vegetarian, and so she goes and she'll get the veggie burger and stuff. Anyway, Walking Ched, double burger, as I said. On the burger is bacon, cheddar cheese, grilled onions, red onions, mayo, all on a bun, made up of two pieces of deep-fried mac and cheese. Oh, and there's also mac and cheese on the burger. I apologize. Yes. It was one of the most... It was everything I want in life on one plate. And I couldn't finish it. And I was so terribly full. I've been more full in my life, but I hadn't been this full in a long time. And we drove home, and Trish was so full. And Trish fell asleep on the drive home. And we got home, and I had to lay down and sleep for a couple hours. And when I woke up, I was still feeling so uncomfortably full that I called and canceled gaming for the night. Because I was like, oh my god. I told the people at Zombie Burger, I'm like, this has been wonderful. I don't think I can ever come back here. There are people, half the thing is just a food counter, so people come in and just order these to go, like, as their lunch for if they work in downtown Des Moines. I'm like, holy crap. It's insane. Next day, though, felt fine. We got up, went to the gym, it was all good.
It's downtown?
Downtown. On Grand Avenue.
So you could get there from the Skywalk system and everything if you were...
I don't know if it goes across the river or whatever. I mean, it's definitely within a few blocks of the Skywalk
system. Across the river? You mean it's on the east side? East side of the river?
I don't know. It's on the opposite side that the Civic Center's on. It's on Grand Avenue.
All right, well...
From the Civic Center, so, you would have to go...
No, the Skywalk doesn't go over the river.
Okay, then, yeah, you'd have to walk a few blocks.
Hmm. Well, I think I've heard of it, but obviously...
Yeah, it's kind of famous and stuff, but...
Kind of famous
and stuff. But it was crazy. Anyway, Wednesday, back to work. Wednesday night, date night, the producer took us to see How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen it?
No.
Have you seen How to Train Your Dragon 1?
Yeah, it's good. Like
it is good. I like it. I didn't have to own it or anything, but it's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I would watch it again.
We own it.
This one, also good. I would recommend it at least as much as I would recommend the first one. Way more emotionally complex than the first one. And in fact, way more emotionally complex than I was expecting from a PG-related DreamWorks kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that there's a chunk in the middle where I feel very uncomfortable because I feel that the situation and the relationships going on are very complicated and I feel bad for them. And I'm like, wow, this movie should not be able to pull that off. it is interesting, as the sequels go, they took an interesting tack. It's 5 years later, and everybody's actually older. And what that means is all the characters from before who were like kids and sort of teenagery are young adults now. And you can actually, in some cases, see like there's a difference. And so the whole nature of their relationships is different and the way they interact with things is different. But there's weird stuff. Spousal relationship issues, parent-child relationship issues, which existed somewhat in the first one, but let's be honest, the moral and emotional complexity of the first one was, maybe we shouldn't always just kill stuff automatically, and we should try and be friends with it. Which, while admirable, is not that complex.
No.
This one had weird issues of the concept of trying to keep peace and, like, whether or not you need to then opt a defensive stance in the face of aggression and stuff. And it's not, I mean, and it all answers it fairly easily. It's not heavy-duty philosophical or anything. But again, for a PG-related kids movie, following on the heel of How to Train Your Dragon, I expected way less. It's also gorgeous. All the dragons flying around and stuff like that.
Sure.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. In fact, I almost feel like it might be worth it to see it in 3D. But at the exact same time, I almost felt nauseated a couple times just from the 2D version. Because it's really gorgeous. And it has a really good soundtrack. And a song that I really liked enough that I've been researching where it comes from and all this. And apparently it's from a Icelandic post-rock musician named Jonsi. Or Jonsi. Something like that. Yeah, fucked up. Anyway. I think that's basically it. I'm very excited. This weekend, do you know what we're doing this weekend?
No.
Nothing.
Mm.
Finally. In fact, that's what we're doing for the next 4 or so weekends. I'm very excited.
Our weekend's a little complicated. It's the other adult who lives in the house, her birthday is tomorrow.
Oh?
But I don't think we're going to be able to do it very much tomorrow, so we might do it the next day, or I'm sorry, not tomorrow, Saturday. Mm. Because tomorrow is Friday, which means we might do something about it on Friday, because we don't really know what's going to happen on Saturday yet.
Okay.
And if by tonight or tomorrow we figure out, yeah, Saturday's not going to work out, we'll either do something Friday night or we'll just put it off until Sunday. But
or both.
I suppose.
Go crazy.
Yeah, I suppose, why not? But I've always had a lot of family who had birthdays around this time of year. Like my brother, who from Alaska, his birthday's the 26th, and my ex-wife's birthday was on the 24th, and my grandma's birthday was on the 25th. And so I know a lot of people whose birthdays are like in the last week of
birthday time.
June. Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is a little weird. June's not one that I associate with a lot.
Well, I mean, and there's no other month that's like that for me. I mean, my brother and my birthday, we have birthdays together in February, but other than the two of us, I didn't really know anyone else who had birthdays in February. Well, we've got a mutual friend, Mick, whose birthday is then. And
I've got a lot of friends,
but not family,
and myself,
I mean,
who are January, including a sister-in-law. I've always known a lot of January and early February. I don't think of June especially. I mean, my father-in-law.
Totally loaded up in the last week. It's really weird how that's always
worked out. So
if you
go back 9 months, apparently that's something there. Just does it for your family 9 months.
I don't know.
So late June, then what? It's like late September?
I don't know. You know, July?
Something about fall.
I don't think I have any family members with birthdays in July. I mean, you know.
October, total turnoff. October, your family's all business.
I don't know.
It's something about that late September weather.
It's really weird. But, yeah, so, anyway.
I do say we have no plans, actually. I may have mentioned this before, I may actually end up playing in a role-playing game that we'll meet about monthly. But we'll see. We're still hashing out the details on that.
You know, that escape, that thing I sent you an article about, escape, what is escape room thing?
Escape, I don't know, escape something.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't think it was called escape room. That's the premise, but I don't think it was
escape something. I don't
escape
know.
Escape the traps. Don't be a dick.
But you go to this place and you have to solve puzzles to get out of the room or something.
Trap the escapes.
But it seemed interesting. So people listening to us probably know what this is, and we don't.
I don't think so. I never had heard of it until you sent the thing.
It seems really interesting.
Basically, you know the idea of escape the room video games. It's a common casual type of video game. It's like, oh, over here, you have to solve this puzzle, and it makes this drawer open, and the whole point is you're trying to get the fuck out. Somebody decided to make a real version of that.
Yeah, like a live-action
like
role-play kind of
thing. Six people pay money, and they have, like, an hour, and they're locked in this room with a theme to it, and they have to solve clues to get out, or they die, which they don't really, although I suppose in the TV show version of this, it turns out people really did murder somebody, and that's when Castle and Beckett show up.
I think I'd rather run one than actually be in one. That's the thing that fascinated me most about it was
I frequently have thought you would, rather than being scared, you would rather kill people.
No.
I've always thought that was
true. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, my going and doing it sounded like fun, but putting one together and you know, having other people come and do it sounded like more fun to me. But
you just do it in your house.
No.
It's basically the same as doing a haunted house at Halloween, but smaller room, and you kill people at the end.
You don't kill people at the end.
Okay, at no point in the website you sent me to did it specify that you would survive afterwards if you didn't solve it.
Mm.
It's entirely possible.
But this one was in New York or something.
Yeah,
and
one of the important
things. And when you read the website, it sounded like
they would kill you.
Well, no, it sounded like this is a thing that's been going on for a while. They didn't just make this up. It's like, oh, here's a new version of this. You've heard of this. Well, I hadn't heard of it. Apparently, New York is doing it all over the place.
Their different themes, of which they had two. And the second one was just a shit ton of creepy dolls. Like, literally, that was the whole idea. You're just in a room with just a fuck ton of dolls. Oh, and look, this one doll has a piece of paper in his mouth. Go from there.
And you really want to get out of there.
And the other one was really simple.
Okay,
I forget what the other one is, but I'm like, so this is all you got.
Maybe.
It's just dolls and, like, it was like a prison cell or something.
I don't know where I heard of it. Maybe David of Id posted something about it?
You're not saying his name right.
What is it?
Dave of Id.
Oh, David.
Or David.
Right.
It's like when Trish gets mad, her Aunt Susie. You can call her Susan. You can call her Aunt Susie. You cannot just call her Susie. Seriously, Trish flips out on me about this.
Okay.
Susie does not care.
Because he posts things once in a while like this, Dave Ovid does. So maybe I got it from him. I don't know. But I'd never heard of it. And there it was. And
I hadn't either. The Sleep No More thing was the closest thing I could think of, which I sent you the thing out, which I think is cool, which is a play done in in the Sleep No More one, I think specifically is a play done in a 5-story building, and scenes take place in the rooms they're supposed to, and the audience can just wander around wherever they want during the whole thing. So that was the closest thing that sort of reminded me of that sort of interactivity, but it's way more in this kind of thing, and presumably has a shittier plot, given one of the scenarios is you're in a room with a fuck ton of creepy dolls.
I just think we could come up with something really cool.
Better than that.
Well, just cool, just by itself, not really in comparison to anything else, just cool.
Yeah, no, I think a suitable definition of cool is better than just shoving people in the room with creepy dolls. Or at least it's not cool.
I really want to give it a try, but I don't know how to do it.
We need a room. We're going to need some axes.
Yeah, but I want it to be a specific room.
We're
going to
need an alibi.
Like, go to Seashore Hall on the campus. It has some pretty creepy rooms.
Well, or something in Englert or something, yeah.
Well, I thought of that too, but Englert rooms are...
Here's the deal. If you can write it, we can probably make it happen. And by we, I mean you.
Well, I don't want to do it all by myself.
No, I'll say that I'll do it.
And then let me do all the work? Is that what you're saying?
Probably.
But
like everything else.
It would really require you to show up to something.
Showing up is usually the commitment I can make.
Okay.
It's showing up and doing shit, or doing shit before I show
up. I just think it would be really fun.
Write it, and then we'll see what happens.
Plus, it would actually make money, maybe.
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nothing we do makes money.
That's true. Still.
I have a job. And I don't make money.
Anyway, it just sounds like it'd be fun.
Okay, so if we get the right room, one of the creepy, like a room on campus.
Yeah.
Really creepy. What if we get a bunch of dolls?
No, look, this is what I was thinking was, like Seashore Hall, you know, or Spence Labs, because, you know, those were the psychology departments, and they did experiments and stuff in there, so
nice.
You could really kind
of... I recently played a couple of games called The Room. Not that fucked up movie, different. But they were the sort of puzzle escape kind of games. And they were really good. I really enjoyed those. And it was one that you would move from room to room, and so like the vibe changed.
See, the thing about it is, if I were going to do it, I wouldn't want it just to be puzzles and the, you know, and you go from one thing. I mean, it'd have to make sense. It'd have to tell some kind of story.
Somebody would have to die.
No.
Oh. Well, in this one, it involved sort of scientific experiments.
See, that's what I would want to do in Seashores. I would want to make it like it was an experiment, and it didn't get dismantled properly back in 1965 or whatever when they shut the thing down, and so now you've got to actually go through the whole experiment in order to
get a bigger version, get an entire building, and do something like Gone Home.
Yeah, that would be interesting too.
Anyway, write it, then we'll make it happen. That has to be the first part, and I ain't helping you with that. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I never learned to read.
Yeah.
Maybe people out there would like to help William. If you'd like to help William, go to the blog and donate money to the Help William Fund.
Yeah, William needs help.
William needs help.
Some serious serious assistance.
Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and comment on this episode and tell William, because William pays attention, and William's grateful when people do that kind of stuff. I couldn't care less, but William is happy. So comment, go to this episode and comment right after Jazz. And if you get it right before the point where William apologizes for whatever Jazz noticed in the episode, that wasn't quite how he meant that to go, but he'll explain now. In between those,
I just shouldn't talk. That's really what it comes down to. I'm uniquely suited for that. Quiet guy who you see in town, never says anything.
In life, I would agree. On the podcast, I would not be good.
No, I realize that, but...
Yeah, in life, no. You should shut up.
Yes, right? So why do I talk so much? I don't understand it.
I assumed you're trying to keep up with me.
Oh.
But...
No, I mean, even not...
Well, as I have...
Even not on the podcast.
and the constancy of speech, I also have the charisma.
I mean,
the je ne sais quoi.
Okay, but even not here.
Machismo.
I talk when I just should not talk at all. I should just shut up. Nobody wants to hear me talk. I don't want to hear me talk.
You're not remotely unique in that failing. Hi, Ezzy. How's it going? The cats have been losing their mind with us being gone so much and the feeding schedule being all weird. They're just like, stay here, pet me, feed me all the time. They were usually like that, but it's a little more desperate now. All right, so hat, because we're running out of time here.
Yep. She's going to get mad.
She's purring.
Well, yeah, but she is fickle. She's a fickle.
That is true. At any given moment, she's going to get mad within 5 minutes. Last night, she just sat on the bed and watched us all sleep like a creeper.
Blood Sparrow has a question.
Blood Sparrow!
Dear Hat Chaps.
Hat Chaps.
And the hat doesn't have any legs, so it doesn't have to wear chaps.
Hat Chaps. It, again, doesn't exactly trip off the tongue. It's a little like Hat Lex. I appreciate the concept, but in practical application, it's tricky.
Yeah. I think you just gave away what some of our future videos are going to have in it.
I'm pretty sure that came up in the first video.
Did it?
So, yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe it did.
If it didn't, you have that to look forward to.
I recently started to learn the ukulele. Congratulations, Blint Sparrow. That's pretty cool.
Woo-hoo!
Why don't you make some videos with you playing the ukulele? I'm Absolutely. Sure we'd all like to hear how you're
just reading up on Tiny Tim the other day. You could do some of his stuff. He released a few albums in the 90s. You could probably do a cover of those.
But she asks, what songs should I learn? Well, really, you could take any song you want and play it on the ukulele. And I would recommend trying to find those songs that most people wouldn't think you would play or perform with the ukulele. And do that so people understand, look, you can do any song with the ukulele. I think this is a learning moment here where you can teach other people how versatile the ukulele really is.
I'm really not comfortable with this, but I pretty much agree with William. not quite in the little, you know, touchy-feely, let's all teach people the ukulele bullshit. I do think the coolest ukulele songs are the songs that, when you heard the original, you're like, yeah, that should never be on ukulele, what the hell. So, like, take serious, like, speed metal and stuff. That's a really good way to go. Hard rock,
Well, they're just
orchestral
or classic, like Led Zeppelin or some Jimi Hendrix,
but
maybe.
Here's the thing: when you find something,
or Mr. Roboto from
there we go
from wait, who does that?
Safety Dance.
Who does
any of the proto electronica stuff?
Who does Mr. Roboto? Who is that?
Oh.
Styx? Is it Styx that does that?
I don't think it's Styx.
Anyway. I don't remember. That's weird.
Commendous I, Mr. Roboto. We don't remember who did you.
Things like that would be really fun.
Yes, but here's the thing. When you pick something, go to YouTube, type in the title, ukulele, and see what comes up. It's okay if somebody's done it before, maybe. But if somebody's done it before and it's been really popular, or if like a billion people have done it before, don't touch that.
Yeah, yeah.
In general, any female vocalized pop song probably been done to death already.
Right. And of course, I encourage you to write your own stuff. I mean,
yeah. Ooh, covers of Garfunkel and Oates, also good. And they're already ukulele songs.
Yeah,
so
you definitely want to maybe write your own stuff. But if you want to cover something, go for those things that most people don't think of as ukulele songs. Do some Michael Jackson songs.
There you go.
Hardly anyone thinks ukulele would work for those, but I know it will.
Christopher Lee's stuff, I haven't heard any of it. I think it would be probably amazing on ukulele.
Let's see.
Guar. Do some guar on ukulele.
Queen. Oh, man, that stuff's made for ukulele.
Yeah,
really.
But I feel like that one might already be fairly out there.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, a lot of electronics. Erasure, not the ABBA covers, regular Erasure.
Boston.
Boston would work.
Yeah, that'd be good.
25 or 6 to 4 by Chicago. That would be a good one.
A lot of Chicago things would be good. Depeche Mode. That's probably obvious.
Depeche Mode. Cure. Cure would be fun.
Yeah. Bikini Kill. Do some punk stuff from, you know, the 90s. That would be neat.
Because
a lot of people don't think ukulele and punk. They just don't.
They do not, in general. Apocalyptica goes without saying. Like, that would just be the epitome of what's my ukulele doing here.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe some world music.
Yeah.
Would probably be good. Do some Rusted Root or... let's see, what else?
Ooh, what if we go the full-on, like, old-school 90s R&B vibe?
Like?
Toni Braxton?
Oh, sure.
You know, some serious, you know, to paraphrase Emily Gordon, sexy fucky kind of R&B with ukulele. I don't even know what that would sound like. And that's the key. If you don't know what it would sound like, do that one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, some that you might not have heard on ukulele, but you can pretty easily figure it out. Like,
ding, ding, ding,
like
ding, ding,
Dave Matthews Band, for example. That's probably easy. That's probably too easy.
Although some of that could be hilarious. That's the thing. Almost anything, if you switch it over to ukulele, can be hilarious.
So, yeah, even if it doesn't work, someone might think it's funny. Yes. And, you know, try not to let your feelings get hurt in that case. Because, hey, any publicity is good publicity, really, yeah. When it comes down to it.
Being laughed at is something some of us have. we should do another one. We are way too obsessed with the ukulele possibilities here.
We are?
We're a little intense. We kind of took that a long ways.
Well, you know, never mind. I was going to say something about the second season of Orange is the New Black, but I won't. It's not really spoilery, but I shouldn't talk about something people haven't
seen.
I did
forget one thing about this week. I finally finished the audiobook I was listening to, so I finally started the new Dresden Files book, Skin Game.
Yeah.
It was a little tricky to begin with, because one of the central pillars of the plot is something that I didn't remember to be true from the earlier books. And I kind of vaguely doubt, like, maybe I forgot this. But so I'm Googling around trying to figure out what it was, and I found a wonderful thing out there, I think maybe on the publishing company's website, that it's called Dresden Files Rereads. And it's these blog posts that are basically these very, very detailed synopses of the previous books. And so that was quite helpful, and I finally put it together, like, what it was. And everything I read then, I was like, yeah, no, I remember that, and I finally put it together. So that was helpful. But yeah, I was excited to start listening to that again. Again read by James Marsters, so that's cool. All right. Hey, Sir Guido.
Wow.
Says, Dear Hatlex. like Daleks, people. Watch the videos. What is your favorite dairy product and why? I feel like this has been answered by me many times.
It seems like we've had this question before. Seems like it. Because it seems like we talked about things like pudding and...
No, that's your favorite dessert.
Oh.
Sir Guido does ask a lot of favorite food-related, I believe. I believe he's asked about our favorite soups.
It would have to be ice cream. Although when I was eating a lot of dairy, I liked cheese quite a bit. I mean, in general. So, but still, I think ice cream was hands down my favorite. And, it still would be if I was eating a lot of dairy still. Although, when I do have dairy, it's usually cheese, so even though I think ice cream is my favorite, I don't eat it anymore, but I do eat cheese sometimes. Rarely I eat it. But what were you going to answer? Well,
my single favorite food in the world is a dairy product, so pretty simple.
It is?
Yes.
What is it?
Cheese.
Just, oh.
Cheese is my favorite food in the world.
What's your favorite cheese?
That's tough. I am a big fan of Swiss.
Really? Like real Swiss? Like from Switzerland Swiss?
I think the closest I've had is Jarlsberg. I don't know. Oh. But I don't know. I like a lot of cheeses. Cheddar, cream, Eden. Oh, there was a very weird one I had at Clinton Street a while back. I don't remember. Ah, shoot. Gouda is quite nice. The hard cheeses, Parmigiano, Reggiano, Pecorino, all very tasty. I just love cheese, which is funny because I think my single favorite, like, prepared dish food, sushi, which essentially never has cheese.
Yeah, never has cheese. So it's a
funny coincidence. I love most dairy products. I love yogurt. I love ice cream. I love sour cream. I love cream cheese. I love cream. You know what I'm not a huge fan of, though? Milk.
Just straight up milk.
Very seldom would I drink a glass of milk. I'll use it on my cereal. But that's about it.
Well, when I was growing up, we drank milk and, you know, whole milk. Mom bought like 2%, I think, for a while, but that wasn't in the earliest years. It seemed like we had whole milk most of the time. And we drank that more than water. I mean, if we were running around outside and we'd get hot, we'd come in and drink milk, which a lot of people don't associate with cooling yourself down or refreshing yourself with a beverage. And we didn't either, frankly, but it tasted better than our well water did, and that's just what we drank. Lots of milk, cottage cheese.
Oh, I love cottage cheese also.
Mozzarella cheese on lots of things, not just pizzas. Parmesan. We didn't have a huge variety of cheese, but we did have, of the cheeses that we had a lot of it, and ice cream and yogurt. Occasionally,
I eat yogurt every morning. I eat Greek yogurt every morning.
We probably had dairy. Dairy was probably the thing we ate more than any other single kind of food. More than fruits and vegetables. More even than probably meat. And that's saying something, because we ate a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Lots of dairy when I was growing up. And when I stopped eating it, it was kind of a big deal. Because, you know, when I became a vegetarian, I didn't stop eating dairy.
Yeah.
And then a lot of vegetarians, when they switch over, they actually eat more dairy.
To compensate.
Yeah. To compensate, which often leads people to gaining weight after they become vegetarian.
I was vegetarian for 3 months, and in that time I discovered, like, there's nothing about being vegetarian that is by definition healthier.
No, that's exactly right.
You can fuck that
up. That's right. You really can. And that didn't happen to me, thankfully, but I still ate dairy, and then I stopped for other reasons. I was getting sinus infections and stuff, and I read somewhere that people who were vegetarian for a particular amount of time, that might happen. Hmm. Something about, I don't know, their certain tolerances to certain enzymes or something. So I stopped eating dairy, and the problem went away. Recently, I started eating raw cheese. Because I found that it helps with intestinal health and stuff because of the beneficial bacteria.
I'm kind of getting into probiotics lately.
Yeah. So, but I still don't eat very much, and the small amount of dairy that I have started eating again is not really affecting me much.
The producer is ordering us pizza, and she needs to know which card to use.
So, but yeah, I still, like, there's lots of products out there that are not ice cream, but are like ice cream, like soy ice cream.
Oh, tofu and stuff.
And
those showed up in Grinnell, and we would actually just get them sometimes just for it to be different. The scary thing about them, for me, is when they melt, they don't liquefy.
Well, the kind I like most in that is... coconut milk ice cream is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, when I was home last week, we went to a place, those small town ice cream stands that you see in places, and sometimes they can have really good ice cream. I went ahead and got that for the first time in 10 years. And it was good, but it didn't taste any really that much different than when I get coconut milk ice cream in terms of its texture and everything and flavor. So, I don't know. I think I like the coconut milk stuff a little bit better than your typical soft serve that you get from those little places. But not as good. I mean, I do really miss the stuff you get in the store. That comes
actual hard ice cream.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Like, I've never even been to, like, Cold Stone Creamery or whatever. I mean, I've never been there. And I'm sure it's really good, but I don't think it would agree with me if I had it.
No, it'd be crazy. You know, barely agrees with me. That is the thing, though. If I ever somehow became lactose intolerant, whatever is out there to take for it, I would be taking about handfuls. I ain't giving up my cheese. I will live on the toilet if I have to. I ain't giving up my cheese.
I like ever. Swiss cheese, too. I really do. I mean, like, imported from Switzerland, Swiss cheese is really good.
You have very expensive taste.
Oh, and there's a local cheese maker that makes a good Swiss cheese. It's called, they call it Prairie Rose, and it's really good.
Prairie Rose.
And I think they make it, you know, they're Mennonites who make it, and of course Mennonites are from Switzerland, so they probably use the same kind of process and everything. And you can tell it's not from Switzerland, but it's pretty good.
I feel like I could probably not tell that it's not.
Well, if you go to a New Pioneer Co-op here, the one in Coralville, they don't really carry it. But apparently here, the downtown one carries it. Mm. If you go to the where they have the cheeses, they call it Prairie Rose. And it's really good. You should try it. And tell me what you think of it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, in general, if we go, especially if we go to a nice restaurant, if there's some sort of cheese plate, I'm all over that. Absolutely love cheese, and just love cheese in general. Like I and appreciate really nice cheese and really enjoy that. I also can totally. I mean, I also have a prime rib horseshoe where it's just a bunch of stuff smothered in a cheese sauce.
Yeah.
I can appreciate all. I just the other day I was enjoying some easy cheese with my brother-in-law. Easy cheese, wonderful stuff. Aerosol cheese.
What about Velveeta?
I like Velveeta. I like Velveeta a lot.
What is in Velveeta?
I had a time period where I couldn't eat Velveeta because I had one of those classic things where I ate a bunch of Velveeta and then coincidentally got very ill. And so then a few days later when I was better, I suddenly couldn't eat it.
We used to have Velveeta a lot in my house, but
I'm also discovering
is there any cheese in it?
Oh, I don't know. I'm also discovering that Cheese Whiz, not the stuff in the spray can, but like cheese with, like, in the jar,
okay,
has a place in the world. I always just assumed that Velveeta was like a better option, but no, there are times when cheese with, I've made some chili cheese dips that I tried it the first time with Velveeta and it came out terrible, and then I'd switched over to Cheese Whiz. Sometimes you just need the right consistency.
Yeah, I suppose.
But no, it's all about American cheese. Have you seen Kraft has commercials about how awesome America is and how awesome their cheese is, American cheese.
No.
Like, they do.
No way.
They do, because it melts so well. And it's hilarious. I'm like, and that's the thing, is they know. Like, there's this fog of irony over it, but not enough. Like, they're still pretty sincere. I mean, America's awesome. And in fact, even our cheese is awesome. This only could have come from America.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing. Like that's they're what's saying
so
everything.
Sad and
like,
embarrassing.
You're not wrong, but I don't think they're really being jokey because it's all accompanied by lots of very family positive, you know, cookouts and things and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, when you think of cheese,
as
this thing that's been around for, you know,
think of cheese
thousands of years.
Think of cheese fondly.
And usually gourmet cheese has some European origin. And then the cheese that's called American is this stuff. What says more about the United States than that to the rest of the world and to people who live here who realize this is really sad that this is what America is. This is what American cheese is.
In Skyrim, there's mammoth cheese. And it's really disgusting.
Well, that's kind of like head cheese, though. That's not like...
Oh, I thought it was kind of like cottage cheese.
No, I don't think it's made from, like, mammoth milk or something. I think it's like head cheese, which is...
Oh, you think it's made from mammoth parts? I assumed it was mammoth milk cheese.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know.
We should look it up on the wiki. Oh, Mammoth Cheese. Oh, God, I have so many great titles for this episode. Escape Room. Mammoth Cheese. There was another one in the middle there. I forget.
Yeah.
I was going to bust out What of the Martian Manhunter again when you were talking about different members of the Justice League.
You know, there is someone in the Justice League who would talk like that, actually. Shining Knight, I think his name is. Strange character.
It says, What of thou, Martian Manhunter?
Well, he talks like that. That's just because he's from that era and he was transported here somehow.
Cannot get the lingo down.
Yeah.
That was... Oh, God, what was I...
Well, in the animated thing, he talks like that. I don't know if in the comic books he does.
What was I... There was something the other day where somebody was doing such a weird performance that it reminded me of the various non-white super friends and their ability to say, like, really complex English words, but then things like yes had to be said in their native tongue. Oh, what was it? Somebody was doing that, like, in a movie or something. I can't remember.
Well, this character, this DC character's from, I mean, I don't know if they're Golden Age, but they're, like, there was this team called the something of Victory, Soldiers of Victory or something like that. And like Star Spangled Kid is on it and Stripe is in it. And I think it's Golden Age. I think this is a Golden Age character, but I didn't really know anything about him until I saw him in this animated thing. You know, there's a huge number of DC characters, a huge number. I mean, if you were a totally rabid fan, which I don't think I even qualify as that, you wouldn't know all of them.
And all of them, heroes and villains, at one point or another, were on one of the Avengers teams. Or not Avengers, sorry, Justice League.
But also, this, a lot of them have the same general, like, there are so many that have some object that manipulates light energy and makes it solid, like Green Lantern, you know. There's like six or seven of them that do that. You know, there are a ton of them who are like Batman, no powers, but they're experts in martial arts and they're really intelligent and maybe they can use some gadgets. I mean, if someone studied it, they'd probably find that out of the like 10,000 different villains and heroes that DC has,
most of them are Batman.
They fit into like five categories.
I'm playing. Did I say I'm playing Arkham Asylum? I didn't. I'm playing Arkham Asylum. On my PC. Just I played it mostly this weekend because I was at the in-laws. I have a Logitech game controller and I plugged it in and I was playing it on Steam.
Oh.
So I'm trying it out. I'm enjoying it. I feel like I shouldn't be. It feels very weird, but I'm enjoying it and keeping going.
Well, we'll probably start playing them too. I realize, you know,
the first two. Apparently, after that, it's less certain. But
like the very first one, I just didn't like the way Batman looked.
He looks really dumb.
Yeah, I have a hard time.
And he walks really bad.
I have a hard time playing the game when Batman looks. I don't like how he looks. But in the later games, I've seen screenshots and walkthroughs and stuff and. He looks better. I mean, he looks more not stupid, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but we'll probably play him. We've been thinking about maybe doing that, so I think we will.
If you'd like to be Batman, visit your local library. No, we're out of time, people, so we should wrap this up. But go to the blog, themagicaltalkingcat.com. Tell us what you thought. Tell us what we did wrong. talk with people, famous people like William and Jazz and the producer and Bill Murray. Okay, one of those was not true. Also, go to our YouTube channel, The Magical Talking Hat. Check that out. There's like three videos now.
Yep, there's an introductory video and two videos where we
like, subscribe,
draw questions,
and share. See, I've got that memorized from all the Hot Pepper Gaming videos at the end. They say that. Also, you can follow me on Twitter if you feel like it, at NotQuiteTony. I don't tweet a lot, but when I do, it's gold. Including a recent picture of my burger from Zombie Burger. Any other things there? Like us on Facebook. The Hat exists on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You should like it.
Mm-hmm.
and then just stick around for next week.
And if you want, share the videos on YouTube, because as we discussed last time, it might be a good. It's kind of hard to just tell people to listen to the podcast. That's an hour long commitment.
Yeah,
it's a little bit. If you don't know
and
us,
even old people understand what videos are.
If you don't know us and what we're about, it might seem weird to try to listen to that. But the videos are short. They're very standard YouTube fare type of videos.
Yes.
And so they might be
less
good.
Funny.
They might be good to share. And our usual listeners should definitely watch them, because we're drawing your questions out of that.
Yeah, we're drawing stuff right out of
it. Randomly. So
if you're missing your stuff, it might be over there.
Yeah.
And write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Write it or we die.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.